night, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast, NBA podcast. John is already laughing. My name is Keith, here with John and Chuck. We're having quite the eventful day. Mm-hmm. However, John, who is very self-centered and not very observant, did notice, however, that my hair looked different. Uh-huh. Thought I got a haircut, and then he's like, wait a minute, you showered.
I think I used the word, you've washed.
Yeah.
So John, very observantly, John, who, when I cut 12 inches off of my hair like a year and a half ago,
right,
did not notice. Yes. Like when I went from having long hair to no hair.
If it's not in my mirror, it didn't happen.
Exactly. But he did. He did very sagely notice. Yeah, I washed.
Yeah, and it's also John's birthday.
It's John's birthday.
Hey, Shawty.
So we had...
Which I'm actually going to have to confirm. Because here's the thing. Because, like, John and Chuck are insanely late. Like, we have a very small window.
Very small.
And the idea, in my mind, John and Chuck had nothing to do this morning but show up to my house at 1:30.
That's not correct.
12:30.
And so that they made it by 1:30. Me and the babysitter just kicking it.
I think that was an achievement.
But anyway, John comes in with hot with the stories. One of them being it's my birthday. So again,
you're going to verify?
I'll have to confirm and verify this.
I was going for sympathy.
That's right.
No.
I have outlived Christ.
He's 34 today.
Everyone listen to me.
Yeah.
I have outlived Christ.
He's been waiting 34 years to say that.
First I outlived Jonathan Brandis. Then
R.P. Ladybugs.
Then I Rodney Dangerfield's the greatest. Then I outlived Janis Joplin.
Uh-huh. And Tupac.
Jimi Hendrix.
And then
it's just now though.
I've outlived Christ. And now I just need to outlive Prince.
Mm-hmm. You might no. Yeah. Prince is the next.
Are there
50,
49? Are there no other landmarks?
Not for me.
Between Christ and Prince?
And no, that's the new that's
I
the
mostly
new
like
benchmark.
People who say our Father who art in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And then you sing Controversy.
I feel like you and Prince would have a good relationship.
And what? Like, I feel like you could do some like amazing awkward white guy dancing to Prince
while you're playing a banjo.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I feel like you could do like a Gordzy cover of Prince on a mandolin.
Can you play the mandolin or the banjo?
I can. I know the chords of the banjo. Yeah.
Right. Yeah,
I think I knew how to play the banjo 10 years ago. Pretty sure I forgot it.
Okay.
Like I don't remember what the actual chord
were you claw
formations
style
were.
Or Steve. See,
that
Martin
was the problem.
Style.
The right
Steve
hand,
Martin style.
The right hand could never settle on a method. None of them felt right. None of them felt good. I was never good at the banjo.
Yeah.
I mean, you could.
Here's another factoid that you probably won't believe. My father was a session banjo player.
Really?
Yeah. Or entering the world of animal medicine.
And calling John on his birthday, leaving very weird voicemail messages.
Jesus Christ. 3 minutes of Hunter S. Thompson is rambling about how, I didn't know this, but he's in Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay.
And he has discovered that everyone else there loves guns just as much as he does.
Oh, yeah.
And he doesn't feel so strange because my dad definitely carries guns. And then the voicemail finally cuts off as my dad's talking about shooting out a stoplight.
So did your dad end up in Arizona?
I have no idea, Keith.
Okay.
He was in Mobile, Alabama yesterday. I do not know why he's in Arizona. He doesn't live in Mobile, Alabama. Why do you go to Mobile?
I have family in Mobile, actually.
That's
weird. I've been to Mobile a lot in my life.
Lower Alabama?
It turns out, yeah. L.A.
Mm-hmm. L.A.
Basketball, huh?
Hey, what up? Breakfast
well,
first.
Well, it's breakfast first. Gentlemen.
Always first.
We're flying. Did we have breakfast this excitable fine morning, John's birthday?
I had the old, I was running late because I was actually doing stuff this morning before I saw John.
Sorry.
John was drinking Micheladas when I showed up.
First beer at 10:15 a.m.
So, because it's your birthday, boo. You deserve it. I had the old Sonic Standard.
Thank you, Chuck.
Breakfast burrito.
Getting nice. Back to the roots.
With the hack? No hack. Hack or no hack?
I hacked it.
Because you weren't at your own?
I wasn't. No, nice. I was the one over here in Inglewood. I was getting some paint for a project I'm
Compton,
doing.
Long Beach.
So, I hit him with a, hey, can I get a ham breakfast burrito? Could you add some tater tots to it? Free. Can you add some what they call Baja sauce to it? Free. You have now just created an ultimate meat and cheese burrito.
I think that's called the Admiral's Platter at most restaurants.
So, yeah, the old standard's giving me bubble guts, but I love it.
That's a patented. You got to come up with like 9 more, and we'll get you an online listicle of Chuck's breakfast hacks.
Chuck's BuzzFeed breakfast hacks.
That's perfect. So, John, you had a
3 tacos.
He was drinking.
And drinking.
When, 3 tacos, 6 beers. Al pastor. Lengua.
Tongue. For those.
Oh, I don't know what lingua. Yeah.
It's tongue.
Okay.
Tripa.
Tripe.
Tripe. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ugh. I don't eat that.
What?
I eat everything.
It's in your blood, isn't it?
No, tripe is it's stomach lining.
Sausage. No, I'm saying it's in your lineage.
It's in my, yeah.
I'm Irish. You are tripe.
We hate awful.
I'm not saying it's blood. It's not.
Yeah.
You would love tripe. You don't eat tripe?
I've had it when I was a kid. And it's too chewy if it's not cooked right. And rarely is it cooked right.
You get
at a
it
restaurant.
At a Mexican joint, and they're going to crisp it up.
Crispy. Was it crispy?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. See, that's different.
Lengua, on the other hand.
Gotta be chewy.
Very spicy.
And this is the Mexican joint where 10 minutes after John and Chuck were supposed to be at my house, they text me a picture of them. Someone is double parked behind them.
Well, he had been there for some time.
And they're like, oh, look, we're double parked. It's like, well, yeah, you're supposed to be at my house 10 minutes ago. Why are you parked anywhere?
Well, do you know what?
Why is your car not moving?
Hey, Keith, have you ever Google imaged double parked?
Exactly.
That's what image comes up.
Right. You did a good job at least inserting Chuck's car in there.
That was a Photoshop job.
That's my best Photoshop
job
ever.
Time.
It took me 30 minutes. That's why it was after the podcast when you got it.
Right. For my breakfast, I actually, some part of me must have known it was your birthday because I had a bit of a celebration. I went to Krispy Kreme.
Hell yes.
Skipped the old bakery.
Good for you.
Went to Krispy Kreme, got a bunch
Getting back to your roots.
Eating like a child. So I took an old Chase Buddy Budinger with me. You know, it's good to bring the kid along. Sometimes you end up with stuff if you're holding a baby. You know, I ordered a half dozen. They handed me an extra. This is for him. Like,
that's
here you go, little guy.
Half dozen.
Yeah, and I was like, no, he doesn't eat this.
Oh, I was about to compliment you on not being one of those creepy people who feed their children hype, super healthy stuff.
Well, so we've actually given him. We took him for ice cream.
I can re-compliment you.
In this week was actually the first time, because, you know, on his first birthday, we did that thing that everyone does where you give him a cake, and the baby just dumbfounded, doesn't know what to do. And then you start, like, shoveling, like, chocolate icing in his mouth, and he's like, I don't like this at all.
Yeah.
And so it's like, all right, well, we did that.
Oh, this sugar that's killing us all is an acquired taste.
Right. Well, it's not for everything. Like, it's not for animals.
Is it not?
I saw some real sad videos of like cows
my dog
licking
will,
through a mush, like just to pick out little chocolate bits. And
my
like,
dog will eat his own poop.
Right,
I feel like we can't trust the animal's tastes.
Well, that might be true.
You're just feeding your dog really good food. So his poop smells good.
I
have an alcoholic dog.
I think Darwella.
I've seen your dog drink. It's
that
sad.
Dog is an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm. And you
poor
think
Roscoe.
You think he was born that way?
This is getting too deep.
He's got daddy issues.
Well, I mean, it was in his genes, but you might have unlocked that.
Yeah.
Might have unlocked that.
He had a choice.
Anyway, all right, so those were our breakfasts. After our breakfast, we get to our breakfast in bed apologies. This is our chance to make right what we might have gotten wrong in any previous episode. Does anyone have anything they need to atone for?
I may as well start the Thunder Sorry Wagon. That we'll be dragging around.
It's going to be a big Thunder Sorry Wagon.
Today.
Not for me, boys.
John was actually on.
Not for me.
On something with it. Yeah, I didn't assume that the Thunder would be able to play. I knew they had 2 transcendent players, but I mistakenly said that on any given moment, they may not have the 2 best players on the floor, which is stupid now after watching those games.
Just ask yourself, Kawhi, did you say that?
Kawhi, did you say that? Now I'm lamenting Aldridge. I don't know.
Aldridge has been alternately sublime and piss poor.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And the games they lose, he shoots like dog poop. And the games they win, the Stash Brothers, destroy.
Steven Adams.
Yeah.
That dude.
Save it.
Save it.
Well, I mean,
that's where you're coming from.
I'm just saying, I might need it for other segments.
I'm going to apologize to Chuck for also believing in the Heat.
Yeah, well, I believe in them still.
You do?
They're that's cool.
They should be crushing the Raptors.
Should they? I mean, their best defensive player's not playing. We'll get to it.
When you watch the Raptors play against a good team, do they look like a good team to you?
I can't remember the last time I saw. It's hard for me to judge the Raptors because I can't size up their opponents. Like, I watch all of the Raptors playoff games and I'm like, these teams are terrible.
Yeah.
But maybe they're not. Maybe
what
it's
a
just
terrible
this
series.
This is how it's just mucking things up. But yeah, this Heat series
Dwayne
has been gross.
Casey is a fool.
No, it's been hard to watch.
I give Casey some credit for he's tinkering. The man doesn't like what he sees, and he keeps switching it up. Right. So, like, I do give him a little credit there.
Easy to not like what you see when you're rolling out Luis Scola.
But they sit just one victory away from the Eastern Conference Finals.
I mean, the Heat are, like, a Dwayne Wade injury away from being the worst team ever.
Hyperbole aside.
No, that's very close. Yeah. I feel like the end of season Grizzlies could hang with this current roster. Maybe without Dwayne Wade. Once Dwayne Wade goes down.
He's fantastic.
That's what's really brought us together this year is our two teams are the worst two teams to watch play basketball. The Grizzlies and the Heat are unwatchable garbage.
Yeah. The ball movement.
What ball movement?
Yeah, it doesn't exist. There's just a bunch of like Joe Johnson late shot clock. Hero ball
and Joe Johnson's magic touch is worn off.
It's gone.
It's regressed.
Yeah. He's no longer the fire.
He's back to being the Joe Johnson that drove me away from the Hawks.
Dead on.
Former Hawks fan in recovery over here.
That's right. So my apology is twofold. First of all, I would like to say last week I got the Reservoir Dogs quote wrong.
Ugh.
I was saying if you insult me in a dream, you better wake up and apologize. Obviously, it's if you shoot me in a dream, you better wake up and apologize. Also, I will jump on the Thunder bandwagon, apology wagon, whatever we're calling it. I thought the Spurs were going to handle business handily. Well,
game one, you looked like a genius.
Game one looked like a genius.
You did.
I
think I texted you and said, Keith, I'm sorry, you were right.
Right, which has since been deleted.
Tweet since been deleted.
Right, so I doubted. I thought the team during the regular season, anytime they even had a good win, I felt like they followed it with all these terrible losses, and I had no confidence in them being able to get it together to find the right lineups, the right combinations. I didn't trust Coach Billy to be able to lead these guys or come up with any game plans. Especially, I assumed Popovich would wipe the floor with them, make all the adjustments as needed, and it has been. After that game two little funny business at the end with the Deion Waiters elbow, which I thought that the Thunder, I felt that was one that the Thunder almost let get away. I thought they played really well in that game. And then since then, even though the Spurs have been leading for the large majority of the series, I'm watching these games, and especially fourth quarters, and it's no longer the Thunder blowing leads like they did in the regular season at 76er level proportions.
Yeah,
it's the Spurs who look tight, who look uncomfortable. This lineup, that... Man, the Cantor Adams front court with Durant is incredible. They're playing so well, and it's
Adams and Cantor have this amazing yin and yang thing going on.
Yeah,
they really do. Like Adams's defensive tenacity makes up for Cantor's complete lack of,
Yeah, and Cantor's like almost like ridiculous virtual, offensive play kind of hides.
Excellent. Yeah. Top 10 big man scorer.
Yeah, he's fun to watch.
That's all he has. And his post game is diabolical.
And it helps because he's in a perfect situation because he's never going to be double teamed. I mean, they're going to let him go out one-on-one with.
Right, and so I think what we're saying as we wrap up our apologies, it's hard to do our clean segments when there's only four series and we want to get all into it.
Yeah.
But a lot of it is.
I'm ready for deep dives.
Well,
anywhere,
right, anytime. So... My steak and eggs best thing is just Steven Adams. I know a lot of people don't like him.
You don't like him.
No. Very into him.
Very into him.
You didn't like him.
I was angry.
Remember when Z-Bo pushed him?
That made me angry.
I'm not calling it a punch.
That made me angry at Stu Jackson in the league office.
Right.
I've always liked Steven Adams.
Steven Adams is the much lauded player you hate unless he's on your team.
Right. Yeah. And so this guy he's transformed, along with Cantor, transformed the Thunder into this lineup that can, it's mainly they're dominating the Spurs who like to play big, and the Thunder have gone big and are creaming them.
Right.
Like, I'm watching the end of these games, and I'm watching the Spurs, and I texted you guys during game five when the Spurs were actually winning, and I texted, the one thing I got right of the series was I was saying, I think Spurs are done. Mm-hmm. Now, that still could be a Keith curse because on Thursday night, the Spurs could win on the road and then take the series. But it's based on this.
Keith Parrish line hasn't proven true so far in the playoffs. I've been betting with you.
I've been calling some games right so far. Yeah.
And we're 5-0 over the last week.
I like that.
And last night, that Blazers 14-point. Get out of here. That's the easiest bet of the year. 14-point dogs.
They were really 14-point dogs? Yes. I didn't even know that.
What the hell is that, Vegas? Wake up, Vegas.
They're clearly riding the wave of emotion.
Right. From the 17-point overtime.
From the Curry return. What do you got for your steak and eggs?
I hate to echo your sentiment, but to me, it's Stash Bros.
Yeah.
I have always hated the Thunder.
Okay.
And I am now very much, they're the team I'm rooting for to win it all now.
I haven't.
They're a totally different team than they used to be. It's not that boring two-man hero ball thing anymore. They have an identity, and they seem to really enjoy playing together, which, as we've noticed, this has been a year where we've seen a lot of teams that didn't enjoy playing together. Dwight Howard recently in the news. God knows the Clippers despise each other. So I think it's been a fun team to watch. And, like, aesthetically, they're a pleasing team. It's, like, extremely diverse and hysterical looking.
Well, the surprising thing for me about the Thunder is, one, Deion Waiters has been totally competent.
Right.
Randy,
playmaking.
Randy Foy, who I guess I could apologize to at some point. Because I thought that was a horrible pickup.
Yeah.
And the fact that it demoted Campaign. Campaign has found his niche.
Right.
Celebrating with Anthony Moore. Incredible celebrations.
Madsen-esque.
But then, again, Foy and Waiters are seemingly playing under control. Just like completely spot roll,
right?
Reserve roll. I'm going to stand in the corner. If I'm wide open, I'm going to shoot it. If a guy closes out, I'm going to take it to the hole and shoot a layup. Like, right. I'm going to do competent NBA guard things,
right.
And not screw around.
Can we talk about how being the best guy on the bench is slowly becoming a pathway to being an actually decent player, like a sixth man? I call it Bazemore.
The Bazemore. He bazed the path.
That's the new way to do it.
So many
get
puns.
Really good at celebrating. Your teammates will love you. Eventually, you're going to get some PT.
Another thing about those Stash Bros is it is almost made Serge Ibaka. He's been trivialized. He's playing well offensively, not as well defensively. But once he comes out, is when it's on now.
It really is. Like, even the announcers are talking about it, and the announcers never talk about anything prescient.
The Thunder are just destroying the glass. I mean, you're getting, you did get the bad Westbrook game where he seemed too hyped and he got all the criticisms for shooting too much.
Those are the two top rebounding percentage guys on the same team.
Right. They're getting all the defensive and offensive rebounds. And I felt the Spurs, so Duncan looks totally gone.
Yeah.
And they're not even playing him. David West is playing too much.
Duncan is getting abused by Cantor.
Right.
Abused.
Well, but I still think you have to go back to him more. I mean, I think Pop is going to have to unleash the Boban at some point because David West cannot get a rebound over these guys.
Yeah.
Like, they are jumping over him and pushing him out.
I love that you're saying this. If this actually happens, I'm going to cream my jeans. I don't own any jeans.
Well, I mean, what would you, they don't have, with Cantor and Adams grabbing every rebound.
Right.
And
also, Cantor's outlet passes are looking Kevin Love-esque at times.
He's playing so efficiently, so well offensively. He's been competent defensively. Everyone makes the jokes about, the dandelion and all this.
Watching him play defense is so funny because it's not a James Harden situation where he's not trying. He's trying very hard and just sucks at it.
Right.
That's absolutely said
correctly.
It's like a makeover show. But I love the Thunder.
The
now.
Problem is that the Spurs don't have, because Duncan is so not competent looking on offense, they don't actually have a big who can hammer Cantor in the post. Like,
right.
Dave West is not getting it done down low, and Aldridge only shoots from 18, 20 feet, which seems to have no bearing on who's guarding him. Some days he's on, some days.
Chuck, I'm going to need you to Photoshop a fez onto Enes Kanter's head, and we make a poster of the exotic Dandelion Hotel.
That's the most Turkishly racist thing ever. It's racist to Turks.
I guess you're right.
Hey, that's super racist. I think
Irish jokes and not Turkish jokes.
I guess. Boban would be good, but he's slow. Like, and that team is like...
He's so big, though, but they need rebounding.
But they would just run circles around him. Timmy's slow-footed, and you can see that even his defensive prowess, he's polished and understands the system, and Boban's kind of raw and sloth-like.
I feel like...
Tim has no answer for...
You're telling me that's not racist?
Tim has no answer for the Enes Kanter.
Well, they don't... That's the problem. I mean, I'm not saying we start Boban or play him 30 minutes.
He needs to get some
But it
tick.
seems like maybe some of the West, LaMarcus Aldridge front court should have Boban sprinkled in as a true five to
Your
try to grab some rebounds.
With acromegaly has gone too far.
it's a Google save search. Anytime anything new pops up. Chuck, you got a steak and eggs? You got a best thing?
We'll stick with the Spurs.
Why talk about any other series?
I know.
It's wonderful.
Boris Diaw was asked last week about playing big minutes when the team was up ahead in the season. And Diaw says, quote, "Sometimes we're up 30, and Popovich is like, I'm going to just leave you on the court so you can lose some weight."
Oh.
So that's my best. That's basically.
How can anyone who walks around with a face like Moonrock be dropping bombs like that?
I bet you he can lay them heavy. Yeah. I wouldn't want to mess with, put Popovich in a roast battle.
No.
Not with me.
He's like probably a Jeff Ross of the NBA.
I'm sure he would just destroy you, systematically.
You think he's especially witty and clever?
I bet. No, it's just it would be the dry way. Have you seen the way he talks to Craig Sager?
Oh yeah,
it's just like he would look through you, say something very specifically poignant and true that no one else has ever said out loud about you, and then you would just cry.
That's what Chuck does to me all the time in front of all our friends.
Well, today John was talking about a Lyft ride, and he was saying how he got kicked out of a Lyft because he refused to put on his seatbelt, and another friend of ours
that's
says,
a very John story.
And another friend of ours says, "Sorry, John, it wasn't your dad driving that Lyft, was it?"
Yeah,
so that's I'm not only one giving you crap there.
I am banned from Lyft for
that
a
is,
while.
That is good. That's a very good to help our listeners further understand John.
You want to understand John Burr more? His dad and him share a birthday.
Oh,
my life is hell. I finally was free from the tyranny of my dad's birthday. And now my guitarist has my birthday, and he's an only child, so he expects to... Son of a bitch.
John not being an only child is a staggering...
Isn't that weird? I can't wrap
my head around that.
It's weird to me, right?
Yeah.
He has a sibling, and she's kind of similar to him.
What?
I know.
Ah, that's very cruel that you said that about my sister.
On his birthday, Chuck. Anyway,
a very nice person.
She is nice.
What's the opposite of steak and eggs? What's the worst thing you saw this week? What's your cream of wheat... Worst of week.
Raptors Heat series makes me sick.
I agree, and I'm a Heat fan.
You're a Heat fan.
And I watched Wade
And you've been hanging on by dear life.
Yeah, I mean, barely getting, one Dwayne Wade steal in overtime.
That game four was...
Incredible.
Incredible for Heat fans. Raptors let that one slip away.
Yeah, when you have an overtime game and no one scores 100 points, that's great. You know,
a garbage series. I don't want to watch either of those teams ever again. I hate those teams. I hate DeMar DeRozan more than I hate cancer.
No. Cancers.
He can't dribble. He's an NBA player who cannot dribble the ball. It is staggering.
It's not...
He's an all-star. What happened? I want a do-over on everything nice I said about DeMar DeRozan. Playoffs make you really look at players.
He got to the bucket a lot.
I know. I mean, he's good at getting fouled, but he's miserable to watch play.
No, he finally had a good game.
Right.
It's like he finally had a good game.
I think it's his first real good game of the playoffs.
And it might have been because the Heat were playing Joe Johnson at center.
Yeah, certain points.
Like, there's no big guy. Spoelstra's given up
on
playing any big guys. Yeah.
Well, Whiteside's gone with that knee injury and that kind of...
Man, he wasn't doing anything anyway.
Whiteside's got a...
He wasn't doing
anything.
He's
making Jonas Valanciunas look like... Well, Kareem.
Here's the thing. Jonas Valanciunas is actually a really good NBA center. He is.
So, John, this is actually your dream. So, it's sad. One of the big stories about this horrible Cream of Wheatian series is that everyone's getting hurt. So, for a while there, Whiteside went down, and I was like, oh, the Heat are done. And I actually thought this was a good chance for John, who often poo-poos Whiteside's contributions to the team. I was like, now we will see that, they are not better without Whiteside. But then we lost Valanciunas, Right. So it was hard to we didn't get the control we needed for the experiment.
I couldn't craft a narrative there.
Yeah, there's no narrative. And you also, again, Valanciunas is a lot of people overrate him. I feel like you underrate him.
Can
like,
I shift my narrative?
Sure, go ahead.
It's not that I hate Valanciunas. I just think Bismack Biyombo is a better basketball player than him. And I don't care that Valanciunas' numbers are way better. Just watch how they play defense when Bismack's on the court and watch how they play defense when Valanciunas is on the court. Bismack Biyombo communicates with his fellow players. He kind of runs their defense when he's in. Jonas Valanciunas is Kantarian at defense. Like he's a
regular season Kantarian.
Yeah, right.
It's not lose. I think weren't the Kantarians near the Deep Space Nine outpost?
I think that was.
I think the Kantarians are the ones who get naked all the time on Game of Thrones. Are they geldings? I think they're geldings.
My worst, the realization I found this stat out: Kevin Love has never lost a playoff game.
Lost.
How absolutely awful is that? The man who Chris Humphreys made look like was on an N1 mixtape recently.
Ooh, that was amazing.
He did. He has never lost a playoff game. That's mind-boggling to me.
And this is a guy who could not win 30 games in a season couldn't make the playoffs ever. And then finally ended up with LeBron, made the playoffs, got hurt.
But he's
undefeated in that playoff series. Undefeated.
Comes dropping through. 27 on the Hawks' heads.
The East is horrible.
Cavs aren't horrible.
The Cavs are awesome.
Cavs need to be graded on a curve because the Hawks were on the wings, just not capable of keeping up with
Were one of the best defensive teams in the NBA.
The Cavs ripped.
The Gronk spiked them.
The Cavs are making flowers on the Hawks.
They seemed severely slow against the Cavs, the Hawks did, and it didn't seem like a good matchup for him.
The Cavs have unleashed.
They've broken records in consecutive nights for three-pointers.
The Cavs have three games of 20 three-pointers made so far this playoffs. Coming into this playoffs, there was one.
Yeah.
In the history of the NBA.
The Cavs rope-a-doped us.
They're going to go cold.
They unleashed.
They're going to go cold.
Chuck's putting the blinders back on.
Ty Lue.
Ty Lue's nothing.
Ty Lue had been saving his lineup of death.
Yes.
The Channing Frye, Kevin Love, LeBron. This is the same thing. They're going big. Like everyone's like, oh, Kevin Durant playing the four small ball is what we need to see from the Thunder. And LeBron James' best position is the four. Don't want to play in the regular season and get him beat up, but we'll see that in the playoffs. And now we get to the playoffs and we're like, no. LeBron's at the three with two stretch bigs. Yeah. And then Kevin Durant, he's playing the three with just the
monsters
down low.
Perfect lineup for LeBron because he can do that whirling dervish thing where he goes in the lane and then just finds dudes wide open.
I mean, they haven't been crushing teams. And I talked about how I honestly thought the Pistons played really well in that sweep. I was really impressed with how well all their guys shot. And then the Hawks, you know, it didn't feel like they were playing well. They were close in some games, but this is a good defensive team. But there's just been this barrage and it's blown anything the Warriors have done. I know Steph's missed games, but they're averaging, I think, 16.8. I might be wrong, but something close to 17 three-pointers made per game in the playoffs.
I think they're the favorites to win it all right now.
I was actually thinking of texting you about recency bias, but it's playoffs. Sometimes it can be accurate. I
don't know.
No, I wanted to know what the odds were, what their title odds were. But again, you have
wish I'd taken them.
You have this gauntlet of the West, obviously, and so that's where you're like, obviously the Cavs have a free.
They're going to come
like
in well
pass.
Fluffed and ready to.
Yeah,
I think I think specifically, you're right. Their offense is incredible. Where I'm concerned is that defense, where Chris Humphreys, if you supplant Chris Humphreys with, you know, Draymond Green, what kind of, you know, extra fun are you going to see Kevin Love getting into?
It's an excellent point.
You know,
Kevin Love's going up against Paul Millsap in the last series. Like, that guy's good.
Paul Millsap is arguably as good a defender as Draymond Green.
But
he's really good.
Both guys you can talk about.
I'm highlighting the defensive holes of the Cavaliers that I think aren't being highlighted due to the lack of talent that they're playing
in
the
East
offensively.
Kyrie is incapable of guarding the likes of Steph Curry.
Well, that's right. The thing where this death lineup for the Cavs has had that front court. Then they have J.R. Smith, who's playing great, he at is. The two, and then Kyrie at the one. But honestly, if you put in Dellavedova at the one,
also,
they're still very good.
I was about to say, don't discount Dellavedova. Dellavedova drop kicking Steph Curry in the Achilles tendon.
Oh, yeah.
Like, don't think that's not going to happen.
Oh, these are all, everything's
on
the table.
He's going to pull out a shiv he made with soap and stab Klay Thompson in the jugular.
But that's why I think,
and then they'll move him back to his
because it's
colony.
Easy for us to go back to last year where we watched LeBron, drag a zombie Cavs team to six games against this current.
See, that's the
and
thing.
And now it's not a zombie Cavs team. So they're gonna win,
no,
Chuck.
But
they're
this
gonna
is,
win.
But I think that's flawed logic because that defense is going to be much less. You're going to see a lot less Tristan Thompson. You're going to see a lot less Dellavedova. You're going to see a defensive lapse with Love and.
But see, I'm a John here because I feel like you just enunciated. I feel like the things are looking good for the Cavs because last year I thought the Cavs were going to get mopped up.
You
and
deflated
LeBron,
your own argument.
LeBron threw this worthless team on his back and he did a knockdown drag out.
Chuck,
and I guess
the
there
Cavs
isn't
a, are going to win it all.
No,
and
no,
in the darkest timeline,
no job.
Somehow the Heat come back get to the finals, the Eastern Coast Conference Finals, and they get swept
no,
by the
John.
Cavs.
No, John.
They get swept.
No.
Because the Cavs are sweeping.
And the Grizzlies hire Mark Jackson.
Sweet Christ.
And that's the end of the podcast.
We all just commit suicide.
No,
one
Keith
final podcast.
Tacitly
we'll do that
explained
on
that he is canceling his season tickets if Mark Jackson is hired.
It seems like the Magic should hire Mark Jackson.
We're going to be doing
that. Seems like the Magic should hire Mark Jackson because they love artificial things.
Things. Is that a Michael Chiklis joke? Yeah. Old blue eyes.
They like things that are fake.
It's clobbering time.
But if Mark Jackson's hired by the Grizzlies, we're going to start doing a call train epilogue, right?
My cream of wheat goes to LeBron. Actually, this just came across. Apparently, he wasn't. Everyone wants NBA fans. We all want the Heat. Cavs, we want LeBron. That's for the drama. I know people are like, oh, it's fun for the Raptors to make it. And
hell no.
Toronto seems to be a great basketball city, but you guys have Drake, so I'm not a big fan.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Let's talk about that.
Okay.
You suck, Toronto.
Yeah.
Your mascot is Drake. Drake is the least impressive, superstar mogul of all time.
You're probably right.
He's Carlton. He's the worst. And that's the guy you hitch your wagon to? That's the guy who's taking you places?
I don't like
the
him.
Hell with that.
I don't like him because, again, I don't
he's
know.
He's a bandwagoning jackass.
He's just a bandwagon guy. Like, he's showing up to Kentucky basketball
games. We're all
going to
be super embarrassed about the Drake era. Period.
Yeah, as humanity.
Yeah, we're going to be super embarrassed.
I think you guys are wrong.
Like, we're all worried about what Trump's going to do to history.
He gets meme culture.
We're going to look back.
Yeah, I'm more worried about Drake.
He does get meme culture.
He gets meme culture. Then you guys are completely...
Well, meme culture.
Now you're just...
We're going to be embarrassed about that, too.
Now you're just an old man yelling at the cloud.
Yeah, get off my lawn.
Let me bring it back to LeBron. He apparently wasn't... He apparently doesn't care who he plays in the Eastern Conference Finals. No. And wasn't even watching Game 5 of Raptors-Miami. What was he doing? Apparently... He was watching movies with his kids. He watched How the Grinch Stole Christmas, Interview with a Vampire, and The Punisher.
That is awesome.
What is going
How
on?
How is that your worst of the week?
No, I guess
that's kind of awesome.
He watched Frank Castle, gun rape people.
He watched Frank Castle gun rape people with a 7 and 9 year old.
That's how I was raised. My dad was like, son, do you want to watch
my
RoboCop?
Biggest thing is why right. Why are you watching Grinch That Stole Christmas in May?
I don't know, it's a kids movie. I understand, we're watching some kids movies. We watch Grinch Stole Christmas for the 7 year old.
And then
I wanted to watch Interview with a Vampire is a strange one too.
That is
sexy movie.
That's just a weird
movie for Stephen Ray nipple showings.
Yeah, and there's a young who's that young
Kirsten
actress?
Dunst is
Kirsten
in it.
Dunst is in it.
Yeah.
And she's weirdly
10. Makes you feel weird.
It does. Awful
some
feelings.
Anna Paquin.
Yeah.
Dirty stuff. But I get it. That's a man who's in control. One of my earliest memories is I'm wanting to go see, like, I think I wanted to see like Transformers movie or G.I. Joe movie. And my dad tells my mom, I'm gonna take John to the movies. And so we go, happy birthday, Dad. So we go to the theater, and I'm like, all right, we're going to go see this cartoon movie I'm so excited about. And my dad's standing in line smoking, and we get up to the thing, and he goes, 2 tickets for Darkman. And that's how I saw my first R-rated movie in the theater.
Sam Raimi, man.
Yeah. The Pink F***ing Elephant. That's a great movie. That's maybe amazing. The best comic book movie. That's not a comic book.
That's awesome. So those were our worst of weeks. All right, before we get to more breaking down what's going on in the NBA, I want to tell you guys about Fan Essentials. Some of you guys out there have been getting involved with that. So support your favorite team. Go to fanessentials.net, and you will get NBA gear delivered to your house monthly. They have subscriptions starting at $14.99.
Get some Cavs jerseys.
And remember...
Shut up, John.
Use the code FBBF, as in Fast Break Breakfast, and that way we get a buck or two to help us keep the lights on in the baby dungeon.
Baby dungeon.
So we appreciate it.
It's a magical place.
All right.
Smells like formula.
So, as our scattered smother covered, we talked some about, we haven't really mentioned the Warriors-Blazers series, and which is weird because that is the other series
is
awesome.
Very, very close to being best of the week for me, of course, is Steph Curry's 17-point overtime.
Incredible.
It was.
What a night that was, by the way. 2 overtime games.
Yeah.
Predators, I will, in overtime.
I will kind of put my one of my worst, like a secondary worst of week, was that Steph Curry thing. I missed it. Did it you? Happened at 1:30 in the morning.
I thought you were
Central
watching.
Time.
Yeah, I was texting you.
It was 2:30
I wasn't getting them.
It was 2:30.
That was 2:30 Eastern.
I was in Miami.
Because you were in Miami, Chuck.
Yeah, and I couldn't keep up with it.
So that's magic hour.
So
for
that
me.
So that that
I'm wide awake. I'm alive at 2:30.
Because in the first half they were doing the hack of Ed and the hack of Mason and the hack of Bogut, and I'm sitting there like, guys, this game started at 9:45.
Yeah,
like,
could we please?
Like, can we not do this? And it was getting so boring. I actually switched it over. I saw my first hockey goal of the season.
Hey, now
I turned it over to the Nashville Predators were in overtime. So I'm like, these free throws are so boring. I will try to find whatever channel the hockey's on. and I found it 10 seconds, roughly 10 to 12 seconds before they hit the winning goal.
Good for you. That's viewing, that's viewing with your wallet. Right.
It
there.
Was good. I actually kind of pumped my, I got
that's
excited.
Where you're like, you know what? I'm not going to justify this free throw tomfoolery.
So then I ended up going to bed, and turns out I missed the most amazing.
Man.
I mean, I watched it. Like, I went back and watched. I was worried because I DVR'd it and Inside the NBA. I was worried that wasn't going to be long enough.
It was like a Kevin Costner movie. Like, the storyline.
The unbelievability of the incredible ending.
Because it was just kind of like, well, Steph kind of threw this game away. This is his undoing, you know? And then it's like he heard the collective. It's like he checked Twitter between fourth quarter and overtime. And was like, oh.
Yeah, yeah. I need to.
Say what now?
Well, okay. Who am I?
My first thought, too.
That is the record, right? No one's ever scored 17 points.
No, that is a record.
Yeah, yeah, it was. I mean, it was playoff record.
Spellbinding.
My first reaction when even Steph Curry was playing was, oh, is this a good idea? Like, I don't want Steph to get hurt because he's the most exciting thing to watch in the playoffs outside of the Stash Bros. But
thank you. Amendment.
So I was worried one watching the first half. It's like, oh, I'm worried Steph's going to get hurt. And he was playing. You felt like he was running kind of slow and kind of awkwardly, like don't get knocked down weird. And then I was actually thinking to myself, like him coming off the bench and missing all these shots, this is going to ruin like his career playoff averages. You know, like he's not going to score a lot of
totally.
Points.
That's what I'm talking about.
Like he's going to ruin all his shooting percentages. And the man finished with 40.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He scored 40 points off the bench.
Like the third and fourth quarter are the scenes where like Kevin Costner cuts his hand right before the big game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or has sex before the big game. Which can't have sex.
Can't ever do that.
Don't remember. Nuclear luge something.
Yeah.
Susan Sarandon breast something.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the fourth quarter is like, you know, it's like the end of The Natural.
It really was the end of The Natural. It was that Aaron Copland ripoff music.
Right.
And the,
explosions in the sky.
The lights were exploding. And him dropping all the shots. And then Curry does it again. And then in game five, where the Blazers are playing great at Oracle.
Dude, the Blazers are playing well.
They did. They played great. And then you have Steph, who hit crazy finishing shots. Just crazy finishing shots. Like, Ed Davis got just murdered 30 feet from the bucket. Ed Davis, like, didn't, like, I think it was Rob Fisher, Grizzlies' sideline guy.
At the Fish Nation.
Yeah, who pointed out, like Ed didn't fall down or get stepped over. That's a win.
Yeah.
You know, like, he got a hand in his face, and he
God, I miss Special Ed.
And he still dropped it. Like, that was...
Jaeger is a dumbass. Look at Special Ed doing work.
That's out of the blue. Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
That seemed like a non sequitur
Did we already talk about that on an emergency cast?
I'm sorry.
We did talk.
Sticks with you.
Hey, I think he's a he was a low-key coach of the year candidate.
Yep. So the Blazers, are gone. I feel like, I mean, it was a great season for the Blazers. It was fun. I feel like the hard part now is looking ahead for the Blazers. I don't know what you do with that team. Like, they're kind of good at all these spots. I don't know what a next step type move.
I think that GM actually knows what he's doing.
Yeah, Olshay. I mean, GM of the year.
Yeah.
Buford. He was second.
Yes.
The stealth rebuild has worked.
Right.
And I think they have the cool thing for the Blazers is they have options. They don't have to go all in on a certain player.
Oh no, they have
a certain strategy. They can pursue varied levels of rebuilding.
Their people are cheap.
They're rebuilt. They're one of the best teams in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, they did benefit from a lot of people in the West being very hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter, though.
They play great. But again, Aminu is a great, seems to be actually a building block. You got Aminu, you got McCollum, you got Lillard, you have the good front court. I mean, if they keep Alan Crabb, who's going to get a huge offer? Yeah.
I bet they don't.
Slow-mo heartless.
They'll probably let Crabb go.
That's the type of player you let. That's the type of player good franchises let go.
Well, you have to because you can't pay him in this certain thing. I mean, Gerald Henderson you let go. Gerald Henderson is not even. He's like not good.
Hindu's
I mean,
done.
He's fine, Hindu's but like done. he's like a filler. He's like just an average. He's like a placeholder.
Well, he's the type of player who relied on his athleticism, and when that starts to fade, because he's not a heady player.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Although he's pretty good at those game winners.
So yeah, so the Blazers have they got some questions going forward. Outside of the playoffs, Scott Skiles hung it up.
That's weird.
It's a weird. I mean, it's not weird.
Oh,
it is weird.
No, it's pretty weird, man, because he like engineered like a regime makeover and everything, and then left.
Right. He dumped Tobias Harris to get his.
He dumped Tobias Harris twice.
Yeah,
and maybe this whole thing was set up just so him. He just likes firing him. Maybe like Tobias Harris cut him in line at
he's
a Starbucks
go be
one
an
day.
Assistant at Pistons.
Oh, yeah. It was just a real elaborate
prank to get
just to get him back.
I think the what Scott Skiles did was he finally wanted to pursue a career at Universal Studios as a character actor.
Oh yeah.
And he was going to play in the new Fantastic Four.
I loved him
stage
in the
show.
Commish.
He was
so good in the Commish.
But I like the theory that Skiles
just
wanted to burn Tobias Harris.
Yeah, maybe Scott Skiles had like a bully in middle school named like Tobias Harris.
It's like that and they famous beat him movie up. Line. Some people just want to watch the Tobias Harris burn.
although honestly, Tobias is in a better place.
Oh. Hell yes.
I mean, the Magic have been. I mean, not actually.
Scott Skiles.
Detroit is not an awesome.
Comparatively speaking, far more Brazilian people in Orlando than Detroit. So,
let me speak in terms that Keith will understand.
I love Brazilians.
Scott Skiles is a misanthrope.
Yeah, sure.
John's used that word twice today.
I was talking about Keith before. Now I'm talking about Scott Skiles.
Right.
He's not going to be happy anywhere.
Well, he's not going to be anywhere.
Yeah, where can he go now?
There's no way
so
he coaches
done,
again.
Right?
Yeah. No. Well, no. I don't know.
This seems like a bridge-burning
move.
He's
always going to have a job because it's like when you're dating
network.
A girl and you break up with her.
I've only been on one date in my life.
All these other girls are like, ooh, he left her.
Yeah, he left her.
I wonder why he left
Although
her.
Everyone knows that.
Interesting.
Apparently, it's already been reported that he was kind of waiting to be fired.
No.
So he gets money, and then he's finally like, I can't take it.
I can't take
Wait, so he couldn't just not do anything?
Orlando sucks.
He had to quit? Like
He resigned. He said, this isn't the roster for me. Ugh. He really wants to play Brandon Jennings and CJ Watson over Alfred Payton, I guess. I mean, seriously, it's something like
given the number of point guards he's been given,
Rob Hennigan.
Who he decides to play is unbelievable. He does not play players similar to him at all, either. Because Alfred Payton is like Scott Skiles, an assists and D guy.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of
never forget Scott Skiles NBA Jam.
It's all kind of weird. Do we want
30 assists?
So all right. So Cavs dispatch the Hawks. Nothing to say there.
Cavs are amazing.
Cavs are amazing.
They're overrated.
Raptors Heat. Blah.
I hate them, and I'm a Heat fan.
It's unwatchable.
The East isn't as good. We called it the Leastern Conference.
I mean, they were better this year. It took more wins to get into the East playoffs than it did.
But
the West
I think
playoffs.
That was just more of like a very small amount of increase in the talent of the middle of the pack. Whereas the top right. is just not as good as the top in the West, and it.
Well, we knew that.
And
that's true.
I mean, we knew that the whole season.
The top is as good.
I don't think so.
You're gonna find out.
The tippy top. We're talking the West had the Clippers, the Thunder, the
top eight teams.
Hawks would beat the Heat or Raptors in five.
Yeah, and the Blazers would sweep the Hawks. I think
Blazers would sweep the what?
I think so.
No way.
I think that's a really good team.
Hawks would beat the Blazers.
Yeah, I think so. Definitely.
I don't think so.
Although, honestly, it'd be
a good series.
Because the Blazers have,
I think the Blazers
they have really congealed. Like, they've really congealed.
And CJ McCollum is a hell of a player.
I mean, they only won, what did they win, 44 games or something? Like, they didn't win a ton of games.
No.
You only needed 42.
That's right.
We know.
Right. That's right.
We were counting.
Quinn Snyder. Anyway, so I guess let's move on to the awards segment of the evening. The
Shoppy Shops.
International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award, which is awarded to...
There are some doozies.
The worst performance in a box score. Well, I mean, honestly, it's getting a little tighter. There's fewer games. We don't have the...
Some superstars. Alleged superstars are going to show up. Though,
we have big names, but right. no incredibly egregious. So we have four nominees this week. Russell Westbrook in a win against the Spurs was 5-for-18. However, 14 points, 15 assists, 7 boards, and 3 steals. So 5-for-18, Westbrook. DeMar DeRozan.
There it is.
4-for-17, 9 points, 3 boards, no assists, no steals, no blocks, 3 turnovers.
Yikes.
Call it now. Shut it down. Let's go.
Shut
home.
It down.
Yeah, that's it. I mean,
that's it.
We do need to mention in the same game, also a loss, Kyle Lowry. His running buddy went 2-for-11, 8 points, 9 assists, 7 boards. And then very big, and I think my par fade away, we'll be talking more about this, in the crushing Game 5 loss for the Spurs, the Marcus Aldridge.
Yeah, that was 6-for-21.
I mean, he does have he did get 20 and 9, but 6-for-21 is not going to get it done for that team. So, yes, we are right. DeMar DeRozan, International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award winner for Week 4. Of the NBA playoffs. Congratulations.
I hate you, DeMar DeRozan.
You will get signed to a max contract, and I am very curious where you will play next year. Will it be Memphis?
No.
I mean, it could be anywhere. It's going to be the Lakers. He's going home to LA. I think he's from
there.
Is
that where he's from?
I'm pretty sure. He played at USC, right?
Don't care.
Yeah, doesn't matter. It's college. Doesn't matter.
All right, you're thinking of OJ Mayo.
Yeah. OJ Mayo's also going home to LA. Can't wait.
Yeah, he's opening a taco truck.
No, Chuck, that's you.
Sorry.
John Favreau.
John Favreau should play Kyle Lowry in a movie. Like, fat version.
That's good. All right, our par fadeaway. What are we looking forward to in the coming week?
The Cavs running wild.
Will the Cavs have an opponent? Will the Heat magically pull off it's not magical because they do have game 6 at home. So
I don't know what to think about the Heat Raptors series. I really
don't either.
I'm going to watch the fourth quarter of those games and that's it.
It's going to be tight.
That's it.
Those, I mean, I still feel like even though the Raptors now have 7 playoff wins, they're 1 win away. I still feel like four fourth quarters are tight. They get nervous.
Let's skip all this bugaboo. Let's talk about Spurs Thunder.
Yeah.
That's our collective par fadeaway.
So this podcast, we're taping this on a Thursday. Tonight, in a few hours, we get game 6, which could be Tim Duncan's last game.
Took Spurs -1 tonight.
So Spurs were favored by I believe it opened higher even, didn't it? Like I saw Spurs 2.5.
Yeah.
And it seems like everyone's taking the Thunder.
I grabbed it at 1, so I think it opened low, but... This is the best Spurs team of all time, statistically.
Right.
But in the eyes of many, they have feet of clay.
Yeah. I think they've totally... I mean, so they're playing in Oklahoma City tonight.
Right.
You know, and it's like... I think it's impressive that Vegas still thinks they're favored.
Really? I see. I thought that was like a given.
For me, watching the Spurs, I'm getting a, as a neutral observer, although one who picked the Spurs and finds myself cheering for the Spurs, even though I'm being won over.
You're still on the Spurs way?
I'm still cheering for the Spurs, even though the Thunder have, the Thunder had a long way to climb back for me. I really dislike them as well.
I do, but also. But
I mean, they're playing so exciting. The Thunder are, Keith. And the Spurs are falling apart. The Spurs come in the fourth quarter. No one's hitting their shots. No one's hitting their open shots. I'll tell you my biggest concern. My biggest concern I saw in game three, Kawhi Leonard got visibly, outwardly frustrated, yelled at a ref, swung his arms around.
And changed his expression?
He showed
emotion.
Exactly. He got...
that could be a good thing.
He got like the wrong patch software update.
Oh, no.
He's like data. And he started to feel a human thing.
Yeah.
And for me, he lost it.
Yeah.
Like for me, that was the magic. Like, oh.
It was like Bicentennial Man.
Engage.
It's like now he's feeling frustrated.
That's the most bizarre reference we've had. Of all of our reference, Chuck just referenced Bicentennial Man. Rest in peace, Robin Williams.
I feel like I saw it, but I don't remember it.
I saw it either
in college or the year after.
You must have seen it on a plane.
No, I had all the movie channels. I made like...
It's about a robot becoming a man.
Yeah.
I have a perfectly well thought out reason why the Thunder are doing well. It's easy.
Besides, Kawhi is slowly becoming human, and he's all the foibles and fallacies.
Whenever
you hear that hush tone he's using, sounds conspiratorial.
Is this Chuck's turkey bacon conspiracy theory?
Might be.
Oh,
this is much more philosophical thing. It has to do with energy. It has to do with
Chesapeake the thoughts. Energy.
It has to do with the thoughts of a nation coalescing.
Okay.
We recently found out that the Republican nominee for president is Donald Trump.
Presumptive
presidential.
Against all reason and odds.
And in many ways, the Thunder represent Donald Trump. You know,
sweet Jesus, you're right.
It's all swagger and pure braggadocious wonder with a very well-funded, executed effort to destroy a bunch of immigrants. And the
San Antonio is a border town.
The San Antonio Spurs have well established represent the collective New World Order.
I wish John Wall played on the Thunder so we could do a Let's Build a Wall joke.
basically the country and some could argue Oklahoma City is the dead center of the Bible Belt, thus being the conservative capital of America.
I've always argued if you took a survey of the cars parked outside of any NBA arena in Oklahoma City at the Chesapeake Energy, you'd have by far the most Hummers and H2s.
Oh,
by far.
We're talking.
I'm thinking tricked out Toyota Tundras.
My head, it's like a bunch of Hemis with mud tires.
I'm telling you, man.
A lot of truck nuts. Like Hummers. An unbelievable amount of truck
nuts. Those are in San Antonio. Those are San Antonio, Dallas. I'm telling you, Oklahoma City is Hummer. Huge, giant.
Because I think gas is like $1.05 there.
But I like
they have
analogy.
They have their own gas, man. Their own derricks.
Yeah, every citizen in Oklahoma gets
season ticket holders get it. You get a derrick.
Because really, like the raw superstar power of Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, particularly Russell Westbrook, is similar to just the, you know, dad-given wealth of Donald Trump. All the analytics and all the reasoning and logic and everything you do tells you that the Popovich and his diverse, you know, well-thought-out plan is going
Orwellian.
To work. So, it's not going to happen.
So on a bigger sense, we've thought that the Spurs organization, and so I think what you're saying, Chuck.
The Bilderberg.
So, yeah, they had this Bilderbergian plan, this eugenics to have a raceless or all, what is it, a pan race?
Some would say harmonious.
A post-racial team.
International.
A future. And so that they've been doing all these conspiracies. Uh-huh. They've been doing all their Bilderberg meetings, trying to build a perfect future, and they've run into a thing they could not overcome.
Right.
Unbeknownst to them, this cigar-smoking, you know,
saunters into Bohemian Grove
of planners and of world schemers have run into a suddenly unified throng
that is pure energy
of pure p- pure hatred energy.
Right.
It's almost like the scientists in the Umbrella Corporation in Raccoon City.
We're doing a Resident Evil truth bombs.
Resident Evil Retribution was on before this first Thunder game a couple nights ago on TNT or one of the games. But so it's like yeah, these scientists have like orchestrated all these great plans, but then all of a sudden this throng of zombies are undead, and so you're saying the Thunder represent the Trumpian masses.
Yeah.
And we remain apolitical.
And that was Chuck and Keith's turkey baking conspiracy.
That was it's pretty wild.
That's my favorite one in about a year.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying Oklahoma City fans, you guys aren't Trump's people.
No, I'm not. You know, we're not calling you anything.
We're not calling Westbrook anything.
All we're doing is connecting the dots here, guys.
Just trying to figure out what happened to the Spurs and why.
Can we go back to you not getting behind the Thunder, Keith?
What do you mean?
You're a man who looks into the eyes of Costa Kufis and says, I could be friends with him. I love him.
I never said that about Costa.
I thought you did. I feel like you did.
I think I might have said something like, "You knew Costa seemed dorky enough that he would probably hang out with me."
Go to your Google.
Talking to Birdman?
Go to your Google.
Okay.
Go to your Google.
Bring up a picture of Enos Kanter and Steven Adams. Look them in the face and picture yourself riding go-karts with them.
I've told you like 5 times this episode, I have always liked Steven Adams. Steven Adams has that curled mustache.
This is our team now.
That's the weight of my heart.
Keith, this is our team. The Spurs are boring.
It's true.
The Spurs.
Get on the Thunder.
Here's the thing. I suffered through an incredibly painful Grizzlies season.
Yes.
Which we will give a short, brief Jaeger wrap up in a
3 seconds.
In a little Grizzlies epilogue.
It's just going to be fart noise.
But.
Chuck Barf.
I thought it was so painful cheering for the Grizzlies, and I felt so relieved when the playoffs begun that I'm like, you know what? I can cheer for the Spurs and the Warriors and just be a bandwagon guy and just get some victories. And now I'm cheering for the Spurs, and they are choking. Like, Danny Green hit 5 three-pointers in a game, and they lost. You know how hard that is? That's like a game for the Grizzlies back when Courtney Lee would hit 3 threes. They were 19-0. Like,
the Grizzlies never lost.
You will never lose a game if Courtney Lee can hit more than 2 threes, like, ever. So, the fact that Tony Parker's...
I think we've undersold Durant's Herculean performance. He just broke a record for most points in back-to-back games. I mean, he's doing the damn thing.
I'm not putting on his
back. We talked about Westbrook all year.
Yeah.
Durant is still the best player.
Well, I think you just brought it up that we haven't mentioned it. Yeah, Durant and Westbrook are incredible. They've always been incredible. I think the exciting part is now there's the other guys are doing things, and the fact that this front court is grabbing all the rebounds, the fact that they don't need Ibaka to play great because these other guys are doing it.
Serge Ibaka sucks.
Well, he's 46, man. He's older than Duncan.
Easy, Danny Ferry.
He came to America only after starting 3 civilizations.
He came to America after when the movie Coming to America came out and then hid for a while.
He's the Crown Prince of Zamunda.
Yeah. All right, that's perfect. All right, well, I think that pretty much wraps us up. I think we're ready
to
go.
Have to talk about the Grizzlies?
Well, we need to revisit the Jaeger.
Didn't we already do
that? They don't have a coach. You weren't here, Chuck. Remember? Chuck texted me angrily about not being included.
I wasn't part of the emergency cast. And then was disparaged on the cast about being clueless.
Yeah.
Which I am.
Yeah. All right. So check us out. Hey, we're actually doing a rabble. We're rabbling the lottery. It's going to be a lot of fun on the 17th, on Tuesday, and it will be a blast. We will make fun of all the people up there, the representatives. And also, man, we got to get...
Dan Gilbert, we coming for you.
We will get a playoff rabble going soon because we want to do one of those because those are pretty fun, and ESPN has been broadcasting too many games, and those are all... Apparently, John Barry is their go-to.
What?
It's a nightmare. So you guys out in the world, you guys get your rabbles going. Go to rabble.tv and rabble! Do that. Like us on Twitter... at Fast Break Break. Follow us on
Facetagram.
Yeah, on Facetagram.
Twitter.
We're on the Facebookagrams.
Twitstagram.
Write us a review in iTunes. Helps us out. We really appreciate it. All right, you guys, thanks for listening. Stick around for a short little Grizzlies epilogue. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing. All right, for the Grizzlies epilogue, we talked earlier this week, John and I did, about the Jaeger firing. Chuck, did you have any thoughts that you wanted to add?
No, my only thought is, if you guys don't get Frank Vogel, you're stupid. Like, that's the only head coach I think is out there right now that would be worth a lick for your specific.
This is an audio format, but I've always thought that Chuck and Dave Yeager looked similar.
What?
Like, very boyish and very,
John, I'm younger than you. I know it's your birthday and you're sad about aging, but just
I think
because
Dave Yeager's younger than all of us.
He probably is. Is he like 34?
I think Dave Yeager, it's hard to dislike Dave Yeager. Because I think he's so boyish, and I think he has a bit of charm.
Yeah.
But Dave Yeager sucks. I don't care what Deadspin says. And Deadspin loves Dave Yeager.
You're getting carried away with this Yeager down. There's nothing wrong with Dave Yeager.
Dave Yeager sucks.
I thought he was coach of the year.
I do. Greatest podcast takedown of all time.
I do remember.
I got so much respect for Keith after that.
He destroyed me.
I want to tell you a thing I heard. So I had joked with some friends about the Yeager final press conference, the tears being like
crocodile tears.
Yeah, being a joke. And however, I did hear John Roser on the Chris Vernon show made a very funny idea of, like, he was not only pointing out that, yeah, he thought it was a joke, but also, like, he spelled it out better, saying no one in the world knew who Dave Yeager was. Like, he said, Mike and Mike, there's no way they knew who the coach of the Grizzlies was.
No.
Until upon being eliminated, he breaks down in a press conference. Now he's the darling of SportsCenter. He has his little 1 hour media cycle where he's on it. Now everyone knows his name. Now he can go get a job.
Enjoy Sacktown, Dave. Enjoy Boogie Cousins and Ray John Rondo. Enjoy
George
Vlade
Carl
Divac's secondhand smoke, Dave.
Also,
we'll
heard.
See how this story ends. We'll see who history proves right or wrong. Dave Yeager probably coaches the Kings for 1 year and then is done in this business.
I can't wait to revise
John is
this
so
when they're
vindictive.
Lifting a championship.
Man, I'm not. He wouldn't play any of our young players ever, no matter what happened. Even when we had terrible injuries, he'd call up D-League bums and play them.
I mean, I have never gotten over him not playing James Johnson and Ed Davis. Ed Davis, who's killing it in Portland.
Dave.
Can we just end it on that?
That's fine. You don't want Scott Skiles and the Grizzlies? It's a lineup for us.
Jesus Christ. When I thought I couldn't get any lower.
You guys would have to first trade for Tobias Harris because he's not taking a job.
So we can
unless
trade.
He can fire Tobias Harris.
We got to trade for and trade away Tobias Harris.
I think the Grizzlies should trade Vince Carter for CJ Watson.
Hell yes.
Then Vince Carter retires, coaches the Magic. I think that's done.
That sounds amazing.
I mean, they got to do it, but then the Grizzlies still need a coach.
Oh, you know that storybook ending.
What is it?
Vince Carter coaches the Raptors.
No, they won't have him. Come on, Vince Carter still got that home. Vince Carter killed it at Summer League, coaching the Grizzlies in Orlando from his home. He's got a home there. All right. Well, thanks for listening for our little
blurb.
It was more of a postscript.
Just remember.
Yeah, the Grizzlies postscript. John's so angry. All right, you guys. Thanks for listening. You guys have a good one.
Arrive safely.